Hearing Loss Live talks what we learned about incidental hearing. Good morning and welcome to Hearing Loss Live. If you are enjoying our blogs, our podcasts, our audibles, please remember to subscribe, like, share, get the word out there for us, please. Next round of classes start April something. You'd think I'd have it written down. April 8th. Sounds right. Go ahead to our website and check out our new class times. And hopefully you can join us for one of our lip reading classes. We have everything from how to set your stage with our lip reading concept class to practicing the lip shapes in a secure environment, safe environment for you to practice with others. And they're a lot of fun. We see a lot of crazy stuff on people's lips. We can take the concepts with our lip shapes and kind of see how important they can be at setting your stage. And you can definitely tell when we're tired because we see the craziest stuff. This month has been about incidental hearing. Falls along the lines, as we said in our workshop, as incidental learning. Sorry, I was going to say listening for some reason. And we've learned a lot again, because as we've said before, we don't know why, but we have built, it turns out, on each of our subjects. And when we've got to the next subject, it's become very clear how that the first subject plays in. So incidental hearing is, again, right along those lines. Our hearing partners forget that we can't get that incidental hearing or learning from what's going on around us. And don't ever quite understand what that looks like. Even if they are trying to actively understand it, we still forget quite often. And so we have goals we should be setting as hearing partners to help when needed, not take over, not be in charge of, right? But help where needed and when asked. One of the ones I wrote down, Shelly really hated me going off on this tangent at the live workshop, but ASR, how does that work for your incidental hearing? Can you? Do you want to? I mean, how can you use that transcribe app for maybe incidental hearing? Was a question that's been on my mind all month. And is that good or is that bad? And I think, Shelly, you wrote about AI in hearing aids, or was that in a class we talked about that? Anyways, so it just, that stuff's been going through my head on how will that affect in the future, helping alleviate some of this incidental hearing. Maybe you want to hear what's going on. Maybe you don't. Sometimes as a hearing person, I wish I could turn it off. I've said that. But there are things you miss and you need to know. And how to alleviate. I'll stop there because I'm still going over a ChatGPT thing you threw into our notes that I'm like, oh, this makes sense on how you fix the problem in a sense. Go ahead. I'm rambling.
This is Shelly. And this really does build on our last topic, hearing versus understanding. Because, I have that 6 feet radius. And anything within that 6 feet, and I'm going to have to say it even has to be from my side forward. Because if it's behind me, I lose it. And I have a good example for that here coming up. You have to be within my radar for me to pick up speech, conversation. If you're not in my radar, I'm not going to pick it up. It qualifies as noise. You saw a meme about that last month because I made it for our blog and how much it matters to be within that 6 foot radius from my side forward. Okay. Backward doesn't count. One of the things we researched was with ChatGPT, because I like it that I don't have to go through several websites. It just pulls up key points for me, and that's what we learned from. One of the things was how to get beyond incidental learning when you're limited with a sensory impairment. It can be hearing loss, it can be vision, it can be several things, they said, was to embrace curiosity. And that sounds kind of funny, but I like it. I stay curious to my surroundings most of the time. Sometimes I'm not. I like to people watch. And I think people watching gives me some of that incidental learning. Not so much hearing, but incidental learning. I pick up a lot watching people. Our classes have taught body language, facial expressions, gestures, all of that. Communication is visual. So if I'm paying attention, I'm clued in probably a lot more than most people. And that's come to light for me in this last few weeks with our teaching our classes. When I'm teaching, I can tell who's getting it, who's not getting it, who's frustrated and slowing down because we have internet issues once in a while. We teach on the internet. So internet issues happen, and I can see the first. And I started to think, wow, you know, that's my visual communication coming in and adding to my incidental learning. We're not by any means stuck. We can pick things up. We just have to switch our mind from the audio to the visual. As we can take things in through our eyes and gain a lot. And that's where I'm saying this much forward is what clues me in. If you're over here, I'm back to noise. And I'm not going to pick up the hearing you think I do. This confuses a lot of people. We hear enough to know something may be happening or maybe not. It depends on how far behind us it is or how much hearing loss we have. For an example on this, I'm going to share something from a friend that I made on LinkedIn, and I really love that I've connected with some hard of hearing community members across the ocean in the United Kingdom. Rachel Barber has deaf awareness training she gives in the UK. And her website is livingformoments.com. So I will share that in the show notes so that you guys can pick it up. She said, this incidental hearing podcast we released last week really hit home. And she recently had something happen that hearing people didn't understand. And we don't understand. We're bewildered, as she said, because we don't know what happened. She was shopping. She had a bag. And she turned, I guess, and knocked some clothing off hangers. Never knew it. Never heard it. Suddenly, from behind her, she heard angry shouts. Okay, that clues us in. We hear enough to know, wow, that's something behind us now when it's angry because people's volume goes up. And so she turned around and she didn't know what happened. And she told them, I'm deaf. One of them took her aside, who was still angry, and said, well, didn't you hear that clatter behind you? To me, that's a big duh. Of course she didn't hear the clatter. She's deaf. She has at least a severe hearing loss. I'm not sure what she has. But she is one of those with the little D deaf community who uses a lot of lip reading. So us talking one-on-one we can work. We're face to face. You're in my radar. You're not behind me. She turned around. She could communicate. So I think people get that really confused. We communicate. So how can we be deaf? Do you have anything?
That's an interesting comment. And I'm going to do an incidental hearing for you. Chuda is the one barking in the background. It's not my dog this time. It's actually a friend of ours, and Shelly doesn't know it. And I'm going to put in the captions, Chuda barking when we do them. So I wanted to do that for those of you who are actually doing the audio. I'm guessing he's chasing the wild boars, but that's an interesting thought, because you may or may not hear the clatter if you knock something over right behind you. It may be in that, you know, this is another thing hearing people don't understand. Hearing loss is not the same for everyone. And what you hear, even if you're, as we call it, the banana, or, you know, your audiogram, you can take your audiogram, take your best friend with hearing loss audiogram, and maybe those audiograms look absolutely the same, but what you pick up on noise-wise may or may not be the same. Do you know the noise? Is it in your threshold? If you've never heard the noise before, you may not even understand what the noise is versus you heard it before. So now with your hearing aids, volume wise, you're able to know what that sound. There's so much to it, right? This is all going back to, you know, there's so much involved with hearing loss and hearing that it's just very, I don't know. We find it very duh. My grandmother's way of handling incidental hearing, I don't remember, I don't think I go into it in the blog, and I don't think I did it last week, but and honestly, it's one of those, again, for me, it's how we handled it forever. So I'm shocked when I find out that hearing partners won't help or don't help or don't realize they need to. Anyways, a lot of times I would take her to her events as she got older and couldn't drive. But afterwards, sometimes at the event, she would look at me and I would fill in something that she wasn't catching in the group. But afterwards, if she wanted to know something that had been happening in the other group, or did you understand what this was about? And we would talk about it and I would fill her in. If there was something important I felt she missed or needed to know, and I just automatically said, hey, did you hear or understand this? And I would fill her in. That was kind of her way of overcoming the incidental hearing. And if I kind of look back, I think she did it not just with me, she did it with my grandpa and friends when she could be in a one-on-one situation. So just a dumb moment, I think. Again, not that we should know that automatically. And I think that's what I forget. I think we should know what to help with automatically. And that's just not the case.
This is Shelley again. And I did not know the dog was barking in the background. When Julia and I are quiet for a second, I can kind of hear it. And that may be the best way to explain incidental hearing, because I know many of you stream music, stream podcasts, and you're listening with full volume in something, and you finally hear that loud clatter or loud voice, and you take your iPods out or whatever it is, and on the iPods, I forget the name of them. For me, it's streaming with hearing aids, so it's nice and easy. EarPods, something, I don't know, earphones, earbuds, whatever it is you use. Well, next time you're listening to something, and you have it going fairly loud, think about your environment and how much you're aware of and unaware of. That's people with hearing loss all the time. Only it's not noise going into our ears so much as it is we're missing certain sounds. So I think that might be a good way of explaining incidental hearing for our hearing audience out there.
You know, in our ChatGPT stuff on how to overcome lack of incidental learning, the one I like the best, there's two actually. Well, maybe three. Okay, I like a lot of them. But one of the big ones for me, build connections, right? Building connections is huge because that helps you. I just gave an example of it, right? You've got somebody you can say, I heard this. What did you hear? Can you fill me in on this later today at the work meeting? I'm only going to be able to focus on so-and-so. Can you, if there's something I need to know, can you fill me in as needed? I think we have a friend who talked about how the president of the company didn't want anybody to know they had a hearing loss. And so they actually had a hearing employee, I guess is what this would be, buddy, that was the person who filled the president in after the meeting to make sure they got everything that they needed. And, you know, we don't tell people hide your hearing loss. The more people that start to be honest about it, the better the accommodations, inclusions, and all of that's going to happen. Is the bottom line. But even if you're disclosed it, find that hearing partner at work who you can trust to give you the appropriate information. If you're not there for captions, if they won't let you run your Otter live, even if you're running your Otter live, have somebody help you. Or, you know, even if you've got access to the captions and the cart notes, it's still a good way to say, okay, this is what was said, but tell me, am I missing something here? I think that's helpful for everybody, right? That's one of those easy install, easy to, be repetitive with everybody, hearing loss or not. So that's a good idea. I love the reflect on the experience you have here. Shelley, you do a lot of that, in my opinion. You are one who will take an event that happens and you will sit down and you will evaluate not only what did they do wrong, did they follow the three golden rules? Did they, you know, clue me in on the subject? You not only go through what happened with the other person, you reflect on what you could have done to involve yourself better. And I think, and I don't, it's not just hearing loss. I think people forget that part. Not only did you do something wrong, I could have been more such and such. It takes two people. There's always two sides to a story, right? Even when we don't want to know the other side, maybe, or it, you know, whatever. But instead of just saying, it's all about your hearing loss, or it's all about you ignoring me with my hearing loss. Okay, you did this and I didn't say anything. I just got angry. You did this and I didn't say, I can't see you or I can't hear you. You're not facing, you know, stand up for yourself, right? It's kind of how I view it. Give me some thoughts on that.
It's fixing the situations. I do sit down and reevaluate things that went wrong, and it might take me a couple of days to get it right. Sometimes it's like a week later, and I'm like, ugh, duh, I know what I did wrong. And not always is it what I did wrong. Sometimes it's the environment. The environment was wrong. It was a new situation. I didn't know what to do yet. It's new situations pop up all the time. I would go back to the CEO who wouldn't disclose his hearing loss during meetings, and he was using a hearing buddy to get up to date with what happened. Why didn't he disclose his hearing loss? Because he thought it was a weakness. Is it really a weakness if we have accommodations and we know the proper accommodations? And in hiding, we're not helping other people. We're not being the real role model that we could be for others. There's 1 in 5 people with a hearing loss. If somebody's not standing up for their communication needs, then a lot of people are losing out. Everybody you come into contact, every group you go out into, there's somebody else with hearing loss who's also hiding it because they view it's a weakness. And we talk about this in another previous episode on building your confidence with hearing loss. And we gave in the workbook, we have, again, I said it in the last one, but again, if you go through certain challenges, if you challenge yourself and you give yourself goals, you will work through this. You can start small. I'm not saying just come out in the big CEO meeting with like 20 people and say, I have hearing loss. Nah, you know, start small, start in a small group, start out in public. Build your confidence with small steps and goals. And the practice makes perfect. Oh, no, I'm not even going to say that anymore. Practice makes it better. We're never perfect. It's unrealistic for us to think we're perfect. And then I'm going to go back to the incidental learning. We're not perfect. We're not going to hear everything around us. And we really do need our hearing partners to help fill in gaps. We don't need it all the time. We need it sometimes. Just keep us in mind and let's work together as a team. It's not always you helping me. Sometimes I'm helping you with something totally unrelated. So it is a give and take with each other's strengths.
Yep, that's a good one. And I do love strive to be better instead of perfect. And don't hold others to be perfect. You've got to change that, not just for yourself, but your thought process and with others as well. Because sometimes we're so busy seeking perfection in ourselves that we expect it in others. And then, of course, it doesn't happen. And that here we go again down that whole grief and understanding and miscommunication, all of that. Those onion layers, right? Anything else you want to add before we wrap it up?
Just one quick one. I want to say thank you to Rachel Barber for sharing your experience with us on LinkedIn. It was a great example.
It was. We love it. And, you know, anybody watching or reading, shout out to us if you have an incidental learning that you realize now, how it happened, how you felt, how maybe you could have learned from it or grown from it or figure out something better in the future. We do really enjoy it when you guys share your stories with us. It's how we grow, right, as a community and help to stop the whole, you know, outlook of what people think about hearing loss. Anyways, so we hope you've had a good month with us. Watch for this workbook workshop package to come out in the next couple months. All of our workbook packages have a small workbook, access to a workshop video and audio, as well as the transcript. So you can view it, review it, do whatever you need to with it, share it with your loved ones and friends and even your work partners for better understanding. Next week, we will be rolling out Identity Crisis. My timer went off. Hearing loss and identity crisis. We actually are going to bring in Gloria Pelletier, our friend and social worker. She is going to work with us on this workshop. And it again falls right into what happens when you have incidental learning. Well, you might have an identity crisis because you missed information that may have shaped who you were, right? And what's the grief behind that? And how do you overcome it and move forward and work on that every, you know, all the time, right? All of this is work, we know. We hope you're enjoying our series. Thank you so much. Bye.